Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, January 30th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled DACC Foundation Establishes New Scholarship Honoring Mariah Vance, written by a staff reporter. The Danville Area Community College Foundation has announced the development of a new scholarship honoring the memory and contributions of Mariah Vance, a remarkable woman with deep ties to both the Lincoln family and the Danville community. The scholarship seeks to recognize Vance's legacy while supporting the educational aspirations of students at DACC. The Mariah Vance Scholarship has been made possible through the generosity of Michael Eberhardt, whose initial $5,000 donation has laid the groundwork for the endowment, a news release states. An additional $5,000 is needed to fully fund the scholarship at $10,000, ensuring its sustainability in perpetuity. The foundation plans to spearhead fundraising efforts during Black History Month in February to reach this goal. Few Danville residents have had a personal connection with Abraham Lincoln and his family as significant as that of Mariah Vance, 1819 to 1904. A descendant of enslaved people, she worked in the Lincoln household in Springfield during the pivotal decade leading up to Lincoln's presidency in 1860. Mariah's duties included caring for the young, Robert Todd Lincoln, who maintained his fondness for her throughout his life, even visiting her in Danville and providing financial support to her family after President Lincoln's passing. After Lincoln's election, Mariah relocated to Danville with her husband and children, where she became a beloved figure in the community. Beyond her devoted work as a mother of 12 children, she was instrumental in founding three churches, one in Springfield and two in Danville, both of which remain active today. Mariah's impact extended far beyond her lifetime, leaving an indelible mark in the lives of those who knew her. Mariah's life has been celebrated through extensive research by renowned Lincoln historian Dr. Wayne C. Temple, whose work chronicles her story before, during, and after her time with the Lincoln family. Her obituary, featured in the front page of the Commercial News in December of 1904, described her as a woman widely known and deeply respected, stating no colored woman in Danville was so widely known as a deceased and not one held in higher regard. The Mariah Vance Scholarship joins a distinguished roster of DACC Foundation scholarships honoring notable figures from Danville's history, including Joseph Cannon, William Cannon, Medal of Honor recipients John Charles Black and William Perkins Black, and Pulitzer Prize-winning authors Mark and Carl Van Doren. By supporting the Mariah Vance Scholarship, donors will help preserve the legacy of this extraordinary woman while contributing to the success of DACC students. Contributions can be made to the DACC Foundation by emailing foundation@dacc.edu or calling 217-443-8772. Next story is titled Blatantly Unlawful Federal Spending Freeze Sends State Scrambling. And this is by Ben Selinsky and Peter Hancock at the Capital News in Springfield. State agencies, nonprofit organizations, and a host of other entities that rely on federal funding were thrown into chaos Tuesday following the release of a White House memo that froze, at least temporarily, the distribution of all federal grants, loans, and other financial assistance programs. Late Tuesday, however, the Associated Press reported that a federal judge in Washington, D.C. issued a ruling temporarily blocking his spending freeze. Governor J.B. Pritzker accused President Donald Trump's administration of trying to confuse the American people, but said the state is nonetheless making contingency plans should tens of billions of dollars in federal funding disappear. The United States Constitution clearly states that the Congress has the power of the per, of the purse and sets laws to obligate federal funding for all 50 states, Pritzker said. What Donald Trump tried to do in the last 24 hours is illegal. The initial memo from the White House Office of Management and Budget was released late Monday. It directed all federal agencies to temporarily pause the distribution of federal financial assistance funds by 4 p.m. Tuesday in order to provide the administration time to review agency programs and determine the best uses of the funding for those programs consistent with the law and the president's priorities. It quickly became unclear, however, just how far the instructions were meant to go. The initial memo indicated it was not meant to apply to Social Security or Medicare payments, but the White House later clarified that it also was not intended to interrupt funding for Medicaid, SNAP benefits, aid to farmers and small businesses, Head Start, rental assistance, and other similar programs. States including Illinois reported they had lost access to their Medicaid systems, but the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt later posted on a social media that the website was down as a part of a web outage in a late afternoon news conference. However, Pritzker said many programs beyond Medicaid had in fact been affected, at least for part of the day. Nothing that came in that memo last night would indicate that all of a sudden you'd have the systems going offline, Pritzker said. And yet, that's exactly what happened because they intend to make cuts to these programs. That's why they went offline. Don't let them fool you that there was some kind of web outage. Pritzker said he fears Illinoisans will suffer greatly with any sudden cutoff in federal funding, such as for programs that pay for critical services provided by nonprofits and healthcare for millions of Americans. This is a demonstration of cruelty against people and who depend on us, working families who rely on federal assistance to pay their rent, people who need help paying their utilities, parents who need critical programs like Head Start for quality, affordable child care, and 3.5 million Illinoisans who get their health insurance through Medicaid, Pritzker said. Trump's administration also hasn't communicated with states about the freeze. When our agencies reached to the federal agencies, we literally were informed that they are not to speak with us, Pritzker said. Pritzker said the possible major spending cuts or freezes by the federal government are being kept in mind as he prepares to introduce a budget on February 19th, but he says it's challenging to prepare for unknown actions by the White House. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul and four other Democrat attorneys general announced they would file a lawsuit in Rhode Island to block the directive from the Federal Office of Management and Budget. Raoul said the unilateral action by the Trump administration was another blatantly unlawful action as the United States Constitution delegates spending decisions to Congress. Congress is given the power to appropriate the funding, Raoul said in a news conference. The executive branch cannot illiterally disregard those appropriations passed by separate and equal house of government. We will collectively fight this unconstitutional mandate. Federal funding plays a significant role in nearly everything state government does, including pre-K through 12 and other in higher education, Medicaid, public health services, and highway maintenance. In the last fiscal year, which ended June 30th, roughly $34.4 billion in federal funds flowed through state agencies and programs, according to the comptroller Susana Mendoza's office. Halfway through the current fiscal year, the state has received about $20.4 billion on federal funds. One of the largest categories of federal funding of Illinois is Medicaid, the health insurance program for low-income and disabled individuals that covers about 3.5 million people in the state. The federal government pays about 52% of the cost of the Medicaid in Illinois. In his initial memo Monday outlining the freeze, Matthew Jay Vaith, acting director of the Office of Management and Budget, said the action was intended to apply to federal financial assistance programs. The use of federal resources to advance Marxist equity, transgenderism, and Green New Deal social engineering policies is a waste of taxpayer dollars that does not improve the day-to-day lives of those we serve, Vaith said in the memo. Capital News is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. Well, there's just one obituary today. Marsha L. Morris, 77, of Williamsport, formerly of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away at 9 a.m. on January 28th. A Celebration of Life Memorial Visitation will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, February 1st at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Memorials may be made in Marsha's memory to the Furball Farm Cat Sanctuary in Rice County, Minnesota, located at 3405 2200 Street East, Faribault, Minnesota. That's Faribault, Minnesota, 55021. Next story is titled, Visit Illinois State Parks for Eagle Watching Events This Winter. And this is written by a staff reporter in Springfield. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources, known as IDNR, invites the public to eagle watching events across the state in January and February. It's the best time to see the majestic bald eagle in Illinois is during the winter when the raptors seek open water areas for fishing. Illinois has more than 3,000 bald eagles during winter, more than any other state outside of Alaska. Certain Illinois state parks and locations, including Starved Rock State Park and Illinois State Museum's Dixon Mounds, host eagle watching programs during this period. Illinois residents have a unique advantage when it comes to opportunities to catch a glimpse of eagles soaring over our scenic waterways and river bluffs, said IDNR Director Natalie Phelps Finney. I invite everyone to bundle up, grab their binoculars, and head outdoors to one of the many eagle watching events happening throughout the state this winter. Visitors can participate in eagle watching at the following locations: Jersey County, Madison County, Marion County, Mason County, Randolph County, and Rock Island. And there's plenty of dates between January and February if you're interested in it. Looks like it'd be a lot of fun. Like in Jersey County, January 30th and 31st, they're at Pier Marquette State Park, Bald Eagle Days, and so on and so forth. So plenty to look at. Next story is titled, Firefighters Battle 3 Structure Fire in 24 Hours. Danville firefighters pushed through 3 structure fires in less than 24 hours across the city Friday, January 24th. The cold temperatures exacerbated conditions. The first call was at 2:49 p.m. in the 100 block of Grace Street. Firefighters arrived to a fully involved garage fire that had extended into the home. Smoke from the fire could be seen from downtown Danville. Responding firefighters were initially delayed by a train, Fire Chief Aaron Marcotte said. Residents of the home reported that everyone was out of the structure. Firefighters deployed a large master stream to control the garage fire, while other crews worked to extinguish the house fire. The cause of the fire is under investigation and remains undetermined. The Red Cross was notified to help support the family. The scene was cleared at 5:02 p.m. Damage is estimated at $32,000. A second fire was reported at 1:51 a.m. Saturday, January 25th, in the unit block of North State Street. Residents of the home reported waking to the smell of smoke exiting the home and calling 911. Responding firefighters arrived and reported smoke showing from the residence. Firefighters pulled a hand line and entered the home to extinguish the fire, Marcotte said. The fire was brought under control quickly. Firefighters remained on scene to extinguish and overhaul the fire. The cause of the fire is under investigation and remains undetermined. Units remained on scene until 3:59 a.m. Marcotte said smoke detectors did not alert occupants of the fire. Damage was estimated at $16,500. Firefighters were called out a third time at 4:52 a.m. to the unit block of Lake Street for a report of smoke coming from the residence. Once on scene, firefighters determined flames were coming from the roof of the structure. The home did have utilities but not occupied at the time of the fire. Ameren assisted by disconnecting the utilities to the home. The building is a complete loss, Marcotte said. Firefighters remained on the scene until 8:17 a.m. The cause of the fire is undetermined. No smoke alarms were present. The cause of the fire is under investigation. Anyone with information about the fire should call the DFD at 217-431-2350. And there's a picture of Danville firefighters work to extinguish a fire in the 100 block of Gray Street Friday, January 24th, 2025. The department battled three fires in less than 24 hours. Next story is titled, Red Cross Volunteers Help 28 Individuals Affected by Home Fires in the Past Week, written by a staff reporter. American Red Cross volunteers responded to six home fires in Danville, Potomac, Waynesville, Rantoul, and Peoria in the past week and provided assistance to 28 people, including 13 children. The organization assisted by supplying individuals with items to meet immediate needs after a fire and additional support in the form of health, mental health, and services and one-on-one support. Visit redcross.org/fire for information on setting up a home fire escape drill, and to learn more about home safety, download a free emergency app by searching for American Red Cross in app stores or visiting redcross.org/apps. If you or someone you know needs assistance after a home fire or local disaster, call 800 Red Cross or 800-733-2767. While volunteers of all types are needed, the Red Cross has a critical need for three specific positions. These roles are a great fit for those who are team-oriented and want to make an immediate difference. Free online training will be provided. As a disaster action team known as DAT, volunteer people can be a source of refuge and comfort for neighbors when they are in need, when they need it most. DAT team members provide emotional support, emergency financial assistance, and information to help families begin to recover. As a shelter service volunteer, people can support the day-to-day activities within an emergency shelter. This includes helping residents in different shelter areas such as reception, registration, feeding, dormitory information, or others. As a disaster health service volunteer, people can use your professional skills as a licensed healthcare provider to deliver hands-on care to people in shelters. Volunteers also provide additional support, including health assessments, health education, and much more. Communities across the state count on the Red Cross to be there, and volunteers are needed to help families devastated by disasters. Next story is titled, U of I trustees approve modest tuition increases for incoming freshmen. And this is written out of Chicago by a staff reporter. The Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois voted recently to increase the base tuition rate for Illinois resident undergraduates enrolling in in fall of 2025 by 2.2% at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and University of Illinois Chicago, and 2% at the University of Illinois in Springfield. The increases are below current rates of inflation, but will help the universities meet rising costs driven by inflation. The modest increases follow tuition freezes in seven of the previous 10 years, part of the University of Illinois system commitment to maintaining affordability and access. The new tuition rates will only impact new undergraduates enrolling in 2025-26 under State law, resident undergraduates enrolling in public universities are guaranteed 4 years of unchanged tuition. These modest increases will allow our universities to balance critical operating needs and the experience our students and their family count on with the affordability we are committed to providing, U of I Systems President Tim Keeling said. Our trustees have voted to hold tuition costs in check over most of the past decade, something that has a profound impact on the families of Illinois and the students they send to our universities. Under the vote, new full-time in-state undergraduates enrolling in the fall will pay base tuition of $12,992 per year in Urbana-Champaign, $11,424 in Chicago, and $9,840 in Springfield. Modest increases were also approved for non-resident students enrolling in the fall. Trustees also approved increases in room and board costs, a 5% increase at Champaign-Urbana to $13,848 a year, a 5% increase in Chicago to $14,130 a year, and a 4.4% increase in Springfield for $11,866 a year. The U of I system provides $298 million in financial aid a year, an increase of about $104 million over the past decade. Combined with state and federal aid, financial assistance enables more than a third of system undergraduates to pay no tuition or fees. More than 67% of Illinois resident undergraduate students enrolled across the system receive some form of financial aid, and over 51% pay less than $3,000 per semester. Illinois resident students make up 79% of all undergraduate enrollment. Ruiz elected, board chair Gutman reappointed. Trustees also unanimously voted to name Jesse Ruiz chairman of the board. Ruiz was elected to a one-year term, replacing Donald J. Edwards. Edwards served as chair for 6 one-year terms and left the board at the end of his last week. Excuse me. Ruiz was appointed to the board by Governor J.B. Pritzker in 2023. Ruiz is a graduate of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, earning a bachelor's degree in economics and of the University of Chicago Law School. He is a partner, general counsel, and chief compliance officer with the Vistra Group, and was deputy governor for education from 2019 to 2021. I am honored to be selected by my colleagues to follow in the footsteps of Don Edwards as the next chair of the Board of Trustees, Ruiz said. Due to the years of good work building strong alignment with President Keeling, I am fortunate to take the helm at a time when University of Illinois system has great positive momentum and makes real impact to benefit the citizens of Illinois. Keeling said he looks forward to working with Ruiz. I've worked closely with Chairman Ruiz in his roles as deputy governor and trustee, and congratulate him on his new leadership role, Keeling says. He is a passionate believer in the power of public higher education and an innovative thinker. I look forward to continuing to work together on behalf of the people of Illinois. Among a number of other service roles, Ruiz is a past president of the Chicago Bar Association and of the Chicago Park District Board of Commissioners. He has also served as vice president of the Chicago Board of Education and interim CEO of the Chicago Public Schools. Ruiz lives in Chicago. Trustee Joseph Gutman was appointed to a new 6-year term by Pritzker effective January 21st. Gutman is a past partner with BDT Capital Partners, managing director and head of the business development team with GSM Grosvenor, and partner and co-head of U.S. institutional equities with Goldman Sachs. He is a graduate of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, earning a bachelor's degree in accountancy and the Northwestern University Kellogg School of Management. Gutman was originally appointed by the governor in 2022. Edwards and trustee Patricia Brown Holmes have both left the board as their terms expired. Their seats remain open until replacements are appointed by Pritzker. President's House. Trustees also voted to make the President's House in Urbana the primary residence for the Chancellor of the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, following the end of Killeen's tenure. Trustees also indicated they will determine at a later date the future location of the U of I System President's primary residence, calling it a strategic priority that requires further consideration. The house in Urbana was completed in 1931 and it's distinguished by the trustees as the official residence of the President of the University of Illinois. The structure of the university has changed in the decades since, including the addition of the universities in Chicago and Springfield, and the creation of other entities such as the Discovery Partners Institute in Chicago and the Illinois Innovation Network across the state. Trustees also indicated that designating the house in Urbana as the Chancellor's House will be a positive factor in hiring future chancellors. Urbana-Champaign Chancellor Robert Jones has announced he will step down at the end of the current academic year, and the search for a new chancellor has begun. Killeen, who became president in 2015, received a new contract in 2024 that extends his term through the June of 2027. Chicago Athletic Director. Trustees is also appointed Andrea Williams as the Director of Athletics at the University of Illinois Chicago effective January 24th. She has served in a designate capacity since November 16th. Williams's previous roles include CEO of the NBA's Utah Jazz, Chief Operating Officer at the College of Football Playoff, Commissioner of the Big Sky Conference, Associate Commissioner for the Big Ten Conference, and Director of the NCAA's Division I Women's Basketball Championship. Williams earned a bachelor's degree from Texas A&M University and a master's degree from Ohio University. Next story, Commercial News moving to new location, and it's written by a staff reporter. The Commercial News is moving to a new location, new office space just a few doors down from its current location. Beginning Monday, February 3rd, customers can visit the Commercial News office at 2 East Main Street, Unit 144, in the Town Center Shopping Complex. The former office was located at 2 East Main Street, Unit 128. As the staff transitions to the paper's new home, internet and telephone service may be unavailable at times. Please know the Commercial News is dedicated to the community and its customers and will return all messages as soon as staff are available. Couple community briefs. Sweet Adeline's offering singing Valentine's, looking for a unique way to surprise your sweetheart, friend, relative, or coworker this Valentine's Day. For $25, the Danville Sweet Adeline's will deliver a song and flower to their home, work, school, restaurant, etc. on Friday, February 14th. To schedule a delivery, call Maureen at 217-474-0473 by February 12th. The flowers are donated by Barry's Nursery and Floral. And Truscully to speak at Lions Club. Brooke Truscully, Director of Community Relations of Danville Public Library, will speak at the Danville Lions Club at 6 p.m. today, January 30th. The Lions Club meets at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street in Danville. Just 30 seconds left, so I'll give you the Illinois lottery numbers. Pick 3, midday, 512. Pick 4, midday, 8143. Lucky day, 815, 18, 30, and 37. And the lotto jackpot is $9.8 million. And Indiana lottery on Wednesday was daily 3, midday, 778. Daily 4, 7526. Lotto jackpot's $38.7 million. Powerball jackpot is $69 million, and the Mega Millions jackpot is $59 million. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, January 30th, 2025. Looks like it's going to be a nice weekend. Little rain coming on for a day or two here, but not supposed to add up to much. So, and we kind of need it. So I hope you all have a good week. Stay warm out there, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.